Time Slip by Wally K. Daly, with Paul Daneman as Paul, Norma Ronald as his wife Fay, Donald Hewlett as Frank, and Gwen Watford as his wife Margaret. Time Slip.
Hello?
Me, darling. Just managed to catch the 10-2.
Thought you were early.
Where are you?
Kitchen.
Sherry?
Please.
Usual?
Mm-hmm.
I'll bring it through.
A whiskey, just to celebrate, perhaps. Yes, that's the answer. Just a little one. Well, perhaps a little bigger than that. Here we go. A toast to just once in a lifetime managing to catch the early train instead of the late one and not ending up drinking quick halves in that grotty little station buffet.
Cheers, Paul.
Cheers, old man.
Oh, delicious. I must say, Frank got somewhat out of breath. 2 minutes' run left him panting like a passionate Parisian, the mole on his nose all shiny with the exertion. Dreadful sight. Right, what else? Sherry for Fay. There we go. Top up for me. Whoops!
And shut off to the kitchen.
Ah, so there you are, little lovely. Slaving over... What is it?
You're early.
Welcoming peck for hubby, perhaps?
Mm-hmm.
One sherry, medium, as per request.
Put it down a sec.
Ooh, smells good.
Lamb casserole is just about ready. I'll turn the potatoes down a touch to keep them ticking over. Then I'll be with you.
Have a good day?
Oh, pretty average. Right, there we are. All ready when we are. Ah, thank you. Cheers.
Cheers.
You?
Me?
Good day.
Oh, yes, super. Not only caught the early train...
Wonders will never cease.
But also got a marvellous new gadget up from our Midlands branch. An electronic agitator stroke molecule adjuster.
A what?
Electronic agitator stroke molecule adjuster. Amazing bit of equipment. But it doesn't work.
Well, what's it supposed to do when it does work?
Oh, it's just a new bit of jiggery-pokery. Nothing to strain your little head with, my darling.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure. But if it came off, it'd be fantastic. Instant reproduction of three-dimensional objects. Unbelievable.
Well, it sounds it. Your little playtime electronic seems to be getting rather above itself these days.
Well, it's the takeover that's done that, you know, and a very good thing, too. No job for a grown man playing around with electronic pastimes all day.
Oh, come off it. You both had a whale of a time at first. What with Frank's electronic wizardry and your penchant for practical jokes, you couldn't fail to make the best adult toys in the country.
Mind you, they are sending us the most amazing stuff to test these days.
It beats me how they can afford it.
Well, apparently, they're awash with government subsidies. In fact, wouldn't surprise me if the Min of Def wasn't in the way behind it all.
Min of Def?
Ministry of Defence. Spies, secrets, 007, what have you.
You're joking, aren't you?
Yes, I am, actually, but it's a thought. Right, I'm off to have a shower. A bit tacky from leaping after trains.
Paul?
Yeah?
What exactly is this thingamabob supposed to do?
Thingamabob?
Yes, you know, the whatchamacallit that they sent you from head office.
Oh, that. The electronic agitator stroke molecule adjuster.
It's a terrible name. It sounds positively unhealthy.
Oh, well, the idea's healthy enough. Mass production without labour. The manager's dream and the shop steward's nightmare. For want of a better word, it's a three-dimensional copier that reproduces solid objects. Shove in original, push button, out pops a perfect copy. If it worked, it'd make the Industrial Revolution look like a small local disturbance.
With the present state of unemployment, perhaps it's just as well it doesn't.
Apparently, they have had some success with small test units, reproducing the odd plant pot exactly and what have you. Though they did tend to be a bit unstable, exploding rather loudly after a few hours or so.
Sounds more like the French Revolution than an industrial one.
We were sent the Mark II version to look at.
Bigger bangs?
Bigger all round. And more fun. Put the office cat in. Thought we'd see how he'd make out.
Paul, how could you? Little Tiddles.
Oh, it's all right, no danger to Tiddles. We made sure by testing it on ourselves first.
What?
Well, it obviously wasn't functioning, and we were getting a bit bored with it by then.
You could have been killed.
No, it's not that sort of dangerous.
But supposing it had worked?
Oh, no chance. I mean, if we'd really thought there was any possibility of that, we'd never have risked it. No chance. Right, on to the shower. See you in a few minutes.
Not too long. I'm starving.
Oh, and open a bottle of the red.
I feel like celebrating getting home early for a change.
That's the weakest excuse you've ever given.
It'll do till I think of something better. See you in a minute. Bit peckish myself.
Then hurry up. Why can't he sing something else? The joke bathroom song of all time. Well, better open the red and check the veg. Paul! Paul, not so loud! I can't hear myself think!
Sorry dear.
Oh, thank the Lord for that. Now, where's the bottle opener? Now, in 1, 2, 3, turn 1, 2, 3, pull 1, 2, 3. What on earth? Hello? Who's that?
Me, darling. Just missed a damn 10-2 again. Frank and I ran like the blazes. We still didn't manage it. Had a half in that grotty station buffet while we were waiting. Hey, where are you?
Kitchen.
Sherry?
No, thank you. I've just had one.
Oh, it's a bit unusual, isn't it? Before I get back, you're not turning into a secret squiffer, are you? So, here you are, my little lovely. Smells good. Welcoming peck for hubby, perhaps? No welcoming peck. Hey? What is it? You look as though you've seen a ghost. What on earth are you looking at me like that for?
This time, you have gone too far.
What?
Much too far. All right. Practical jokes are one thing. I've put up with a lot of yours over the years, but this time you've gone much too far.
Yeah, but I
think it's despicable the way you've engineered the whole thing to make a fool of me.
But I haven't said a word except hello and would you like a sherry?
It's not even April the 1st. What has possessed you? Even going to the extreme of singing too loud in the bathroom to prove you were showering. It's just too much, Paul.
Say, what are you going on about?
How on earth did you get down the stairs so quickly without me hearing you?
Say, I honestly don't know what you're talking about.
I know. You climbed down the drainpipe into the front garden, didn't you?
Did I?
So you admit it. Well, let me tell you, Paul Williamson, if you've laid one foot on one flower, you're in for the quickest divorce on record.
Should I go out and come back in so we can start again in a friendlier fashion?
We've already had the friendlier fashion, Paul. This is the don't try to make a fool of me version.
I still don't know what on earth you are going on about, Faye. Incidentally, who is that singing my tune?
Don't you realise, Paul, you've been twigged. Rumbled, the joke's misfired. All that talk of putting little tiddles in the reproducer after you and Frank getting in to try it first. Just to set me up to make a fool of me with one of your silly practical jokes. Well, this time you have gone too far. You may well look aghast, Paul. I am truly furious with you.
How did you know about the reproducer and little tiddles? And who the hell is that singing upstairs?
Stop it, Paul! Or I shall walk out of that front door and never come back. See? Your tape has finally run out. Now, will you confess?
Well, clean towels, darling.
Oh, cleverer and cleverer. In the airing cupboard, of course.
Thank you.
Now someone's calling you darling. Good Lord. You've got a man upstairs. The singing,
I shall show you who that is, Paul. Your bluff is about to be called. Why not come down here, little tape recorder? There's someone to see you. Now, Paul, let's see you get out of this one. I may be a programmed automaton who always calls out the same reply so you can set up a tape recorder to answer my answers. But let's see if it can also manage to walk all the way downstairs. Now, that would be a clever little recorder, wouldn't it?
Faye, who are you talking to? You sound a bit upset.
Why do you keep calling me a recorder? I was simply... Who on earth? Good God. It's me.
Thank you. No, give him the same amount as you've got.
Yes, but I mean...
No buts. I just about had enough from both of you. I don't care which of you is real and which of you is phony. I simply refuse to have this childishness continue. Arguing over who should sit in which chair, who should pour the wine, who should cut the bread. I won't have it. And don't think I didn't notice you both eyeing the other's portions, counting the sprouts, and weighing up the amount of casserole you'd been given. It has to stop now. You may both be involving me against my better judgment in some unwanted nightmare, but at least the nightmare is going to be a civilized one. Now, whichever of you two is guest at this table will be treated by whichever of you two is host at this table with the courtesy that convention requires between host and guest. Now, fill his glass up properly.
Yes, dear. Right, having got that horrendous meal over, we've got to give Frank a ring. Oh, God, how awful. Two grown men fighting over every smallest detail. It's ridiculous. Judgment of Solomon on Faye's part, deciding to sit at my place herself like that. Mind you, I still think he got more casserole than I did. It's not right. Certainly got a couple more sprouts. I counted. It's just not fair. I don't know what's happened, but there's no altering the fact that I'm the real one and should get the bigger portions.
Hello? 7243 here.
Margaret, it's Paul.
Oh, hello, Paul. How are you?
Yeah, fine, thank you, dear. And you?
Yes, dear, and it is me.
Margaret, are you all right? You sound a bit sloshed.
No, I'm fine, thank you. I just sound like this because I'm a bit sloshed, that's all.
Oh, well, that explains it.
Thought it.
Margaret, I'm sorry to bother you, but do you think I could possibly speak to Frank? Something absolutely horrendous has happened.
Oh, dear. Horrendous. I'll get him for you. Oh, by the way, which one do you want to talk to? The late one or the early one?
Well, he... What?
I've got two of them here. Glowering at each other and arguing over the one pair of slippers.
Oh, no.
Tell you what, I'll ring whichever one has managed to get the slippers. That's bound to be the real Frank, isn't it? Ever so possessive about his slippers, is Frank. Won't even let the dog have them. Yes, hang on, dear. Shan't be a man. Oh, by the way, better tell Faye to forget the bridge tonight, unless she knows how to play it five-handed, that is.
Faye's right. It is a nightmare. What on earth has happened? What am I going to do? Well, perhaps I'll wake up soon. Yes, that's the answer. I'll wake up soon.
Hello, Frank here.
Frank, thank God it's you. It is you, isn't it? Oh, well, yes, of course it is. There's no disguising that voice. Look, tell me I'm not going crazy. You and I did just manage to catch the early train tonight, didn't we?
No, wrong Frank, old son. It's the other one you want. The unreal one. Paul and I just missed the early train tonight. Had two quick halves in the station buffet and caught the train 10 minutes later. Yes, you're obviously the Paul who isn't real. So I'll just pop off and get the Frank who isn't real to come and talk to you, all right?
But I am real.
Hang on, old man. Shan't be a sec. All absolutely fascinating, isn't it?
I don't believe this. I just don't believe it. Oh, Lord. Please let me wake up soon, sweating in my bed, saying what a terrible dream that was. Please, Lord. If you do, I promise I'll be ever so good for the rest of my life.
Hello? This is the real Frank speaking. Hello? Paul? Are you there, Paul?
Yes. I'm here. You're not going to believe this, Frank. But he sounds exactly like you.
I know. Not pleasant, is it? And what's more, he looks like me, which is even worse. Paul, I had no conception of how ugly I was.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. Well, not ugly. I mean, not exactly.
Why on earth did you never tell me about that mole on the end of my nose?
Mole? What mole? I thought you knew.
No, I'd no idea. I stopped noticing my face in the mirror years ago. The damn thing shines.
Well, you should have asked me, then I'd have told you. Anyway, what about my bald patch and my paunch? You never told me about those.
Oh, it's not as bad as that, Paul. Not really.
Not that bad. You can see my head shining through the strands all over the place. From the back, it looks as if the moon's coming out.
No, I wasn't talking about your patch, Paul. I was talking about your paunch. Your patch is bad, I give you that. But your paunch is all right, considering. Hardly a patch on my paunch. Have you noticed the way my shirt buttons strain over my stomach is quite repulsive? I used to think Margaret was exaggerating. I really must go on a diet soon.
Yeah, but what are we going to do, Frank?
Well, I suppose we could make a start with a bit of jogging.
Jogging? No, the other thing. The fact that there appears to be two of each of us.
Oh, that?
Yes, that.
Oh, it's all absolutely fascinating, isn't it?
No, it's not fascinating. It's perfectly awful.
Oh, well, we'd better meet up, perhaps. Have a chat. What do you say?
Good thinking. Usual place?
Yes, see you there in 5 minutes.
Better tell Fay I'm off. Where is he?
Who?
Him, the other one. The unreal one.
Oh, him. Well, he was going to phone Frank, but you were on the telephone.
I was just chatting to Frank.
So he decided to go for a quick shower and shave, to help recover from the shock, I should imagine.
Well, I hope the blighter doesn't use my razor. That'll be going too far, even for a doppelganger.
Don't forget, dear, he does consider it to be his razor rather than yours.
Yeah, but surely you're not fooled, Fay. I mean, you can see I'm your true husband, can't you?
Paul, you're identical in every way, as alike as two peas in a pod. When I'm alone with either of you, I know you're my husband. But when you're together, it's nothing less than a severe case of double vision. Quite frankly, Paul, I know any minute now I'm going to get one of my headaches, and that it'll probably last for hours.
Ah, good.
Good?
Yeah, well, don't you see, one of your headaches is just the answer.
I beg your pardon?
Look, I'm sorry, dear, I don't take this wrongly now, will you? But it's actually rather handy you're getting a headache at this particular moment. It would be somewhat comforting while I'm out.
What on earth are you talking about? Why should one of my headaches be of any possible comfort to you?
Well, I want to go out, you see, think things over. Oh, only for a little while.
You mean you want to meet Frank in the Duck and Partridge?
Yes.
Well, why not say so?
Well, are you all right, Fay? You're sounding a trifle testy.
More than a trifle, Paul. Teetering on the brink of hysteria would be nearer the mark.
Don't worry. Frank will soon sort it out. You know what a whiz he is at problem solving.
You mean he might confirm that you're the real Paul?
No, that's no problem. The Frank I'm going to meet knows already that I'm the real Paul. Trouble is, the Frank he's going to leave at home just happens to think that the Paul upstairs, bawling his head off, is the real Paul.
You mean this...
Oh, didn't I tell you? No, of course I didn't. Turns out... there are two Franks as well.
Good Lord. How awful. Poor old Margaret.
Well, that's what I thought, yes. I mean, for all his faults, one Frank's not bad, but two of him, disastrous. Excuse me a minute, dear.
Will you shut up that damn noise, for God's sake? I can hardly hear myself think.
Sorry, old fellow.
That's better. Thank goodness I don't sound as raucous as that. Makes a corncrake's croaking sound comparatively choral.
Oh, but you sound exactly like that.
Ah. Well, in future, feel free to give me a shout if it gets out of hand, all right?
I do, all the time.
Well, I'll start taking notice from now on. Right, well, I better be off. Have my little think and drink with Frank.
You still haven't explained why one of my headaches is such a comfort to you.
Ah, yes. Headaches. Well, it's a little delicate, you see. How can I put this without you getting upset? I'm going out, yes?
Yes.
And someone who looks not unlike me, but isn't me, is staying in, yes?
Yes.
Yes. And sometimes in more normal circumstances, in the middle of the week, like tonight, for instance, occasionally when I'm having a shower and you're feeling in a... well, for want of a better word, a playful mood, you quietly creep upstairs and you...
Yes?
Yes, through the shower curtain.
Paul! How could you even think of such a thing at a time like this?
I'm sorry, dear, but it's just that I am going out and he is staying in, showering. And he does look like me, and you might just forget that he's not really me. So, all in all... one of your headaches seems to be the most sensible solution all round.
You mean I might... with another man? How dare you even consider such a thing? I am a respectable married woman and have been for more years than I care to contemplate. Headache or no headache, I wouldn't dream of... I wouldn't dream of it.
Oh, good.
And I may add that until one of you turns up with irrefutable bona fides as to the genuineness of the product, headaches are from here on out a part and parcel of the daily round. To put it somewhat crudely, the tap is hereby off.
Oh. Well, fair enough. Goodbye, Peck. See me on my way, then?
Certainly not. For all I know, you're the imposter.
Fay, how could you?
Evening, Harold.
Evening, Frank.
Paul arrived yet?
Can't say I've seen him. And no reaction of outraged customers finding false eyeballs in their glasses. So chances are he hasn't.
Better make it my round, then.
Usual?
Please. Oh, on second thoughts, make it a large one.
You always have a large one.
Well, make it a larger than large one. It's been a long day, and I have a feeling it's going to be an even longer evening.
Very good. There we we go. Better help yourself to ice when you've sipped it down from the brim a bit.
Yes, good thinking.
Hello, here's Paul now.
Harold, Frank.
Paul? Usual?
Please, yes. Oh, second thoughts. Better make it a large one.
But you always have... Right. Have to put your own ice in mind.
Fair enough. Oh, and could I have a packet of crisps while you're at it?
Crisps?
Please.
Yeah, I'll have one as well.
Right. There you go. Another larger than large for Paul, plus two packets of crisps.
Oh, take it out of that, Harold. Get yourself one as well.
Many thanks. Don't mind if I do.
Shall we go over to the other side? It's a bit quieter.
Yes, yes.
This'll do, honey. Well, cheers.
Cheers.
Crisp?
No, I'll open mine as well, thanks. Stop.
And so am I.
Well, I bought dinner, yeah?
Mm. You?
Mm. Casserole, made for two, shared by three, starving.
Yes, yeah, same with me. Two small steaks, cut three ways, and I know I lost out on the deal. Mm. His seemed about the same size as mine, but I got the fatty bit. Mind you, I think I won on the sauté potatoes. By two or three, that is, and nothing too obvious. Not enough to be construed as some sort of secret message from Margaret to me or anything like that. How about you?
Well, same sort of thing, really. Definitely lost out on the casserole, mind.
Accidental? Or did Faye seem to favour him?
Good gracious. I hadn't thought of that. He did keep looking at my plate and smirking.
Well, how awful.
Do I do that a lot, Frank?
What?
Smirk.
Only when you win.
Oh.
Well, doesn't alter the fact, of course, that food for two is not sufficient for three.
True.
The worst part was that we both were so sickeningly nice to Faye.
Yes, we were awfully nice as well. Me and my all-too-solid shadow didn't do any good. Margaret was too sloshed to notice. By the time I left, she was indisputably seeing four of us.
Really?
Oh, yes. Eyeball reaction is always a giveaway. Slight vacillation sets in. It's fascinating.
Yes, I'll bear that in mind. And, what do you think's happened to us?
It's got to be the cabinets of the electronic agitator stroke molecule adjuster. It's the only possibility. Not sure whether it would be on the input side or the output, but the calculations I've started should finally show us.
Yes, but it didn't work. I mean, you know as well as I do. We got nothing out of the reproduction half of it at all. Neither did the other Paul. I've checked. So how can it possibly say it's the cabinet?
Simple. I've already worked out. There can't be more than a 30-second gap between the four of us. We just caught the train. They just missed it.
So?
Time slip.
What?
Time slip. It's the only answer. After we'd put ourselves through the cabinets and thought nothing had happened, it did. After we left, they were produced. Exact copies in every detail, with all our memories and everything, but not able to see us, because we were in a fractionally different time zone, and therefore invisible to them, and vice versa. I must say, I for one find it absolutely fascinating.
It's not fascinating. It's horrendous. A gross intrusion of privacy and pure science fiction to boot.
No, no, no. This is not science fiction, Paul. It's science fact. We've got ourselves involved in something so large, it makes the splitting of the atom look a mere bagatelle. Absolutely fascinating.
Will you stop saying that, Frank? Having my whole way of life disrupted by a living-in doppelganger is something I do not find in the least fascinating.
I'm sorry, old son. You know what I'm like when it comes to this sort of situation. I always do find it quite interesting.
There is, of course, one flaw in your theory about the time slip stuff and what have you.
Oh, what's that?
We can see them now.
Oh, yes. I've been pondering that one as well. I think the answer probably lies in the train journey home.
Ah, you could be right there. Some damn funny things happen on British Rail these days.
Somehow, the reality of the journey home has put us all in the same time zone.
And left our poor, bemused wives with a distressing surfeit of husbands.
A coffee cream this time, perhaps? No? No, a pepperminty one. Oh, there we are.
Mm. Only me.
I'm in the lounge. Come on through.
So there you are.
I'm just having a pigging session.
I must say, you look ever so cosy stretched out there on the settee with a box of chocolates on your lap.
I'm comforting my headache. Would you like one?
They look delicious.
They're left over from Christmas.
They're not liqueurs, are they?
No.
Oh, good. In times of stress, I always find myself escaping to the sherry. I'm only just recovering. Took three black coffees before I even dared contemplate swaying across the lawns.
Bit too much escaping, eh, Marge?
Oh, yes, with a vengeance. I must say, at my time of life, I'm not used to these kind of goings-on.
Well, I must say, at my time of life, I'm not exactly blasé about it. Honestly, they were like two kids at dinner. arguing over every little morsel.
Same with mine. After dinner, they had an argument about who should have the one pair of slippers. Ended up with one slipper each, which must have been awfully uncomfortable. I mean, hop, hop, hop. How they're going to sort out the pyjama position later on is beyond me.
I've already sorted it, thank you very much. Two beds made up in the spare room, and an ongoing headache from here on out, and nobody gets through my door till this business is well and truly behind us.
Oh, I couldn't do that. I'd have to take a hot water bottle to bed with me, and I'd be forever losing it. No, I was thinking more in terms of one either side of me, like bookends. Could be quite fun.
Margaret, what would the neighbours say?
Free to the neighbours, that's what I say. You know, being quite honest, I think in the end I could come quite to terms with all of this. I mean, it could actually grow on one. The thought of having two men about the house doing the odd job and things, competing with each other to be the favourite, except, of course, that Saturday nights could prove to be a bit of a problem.
Saturday nights?
Just ignore me, dear. I was thinking out loud for a second. Where are your boys, by the way?
Boys?
Paul's one and two. Sounds like a Vatican history lesson, doesn't it?
They're both out. One went to have a think after phoning Frank, and the other also went to have a think after phoning Frank.
And both my Franks also went out also to have a think after their various phone calls from the various Pauls.
So it's the duck and partridge yet again.
Probably. Do them good to have a little natter. Must be very worrying for them as well. I know I wouldn't like to see myself looking quite as real as that. Very disquieting.
Well, as long as they don't all end up standing at the same bar. It'll kill Harold's business stone dead.
Never thought about that. Be worse than those pink elephants that occasionally come out of his ceiling, wouldn't it?
Do they?
Oh, yes. I keep meaning to mention it, but I never seem to get round to it.
It's probably just as well.
But why wouldn't they believe us?
Well, with your reputation as a practical joker, the chairman would just chuckle and say, "Ee, that's a good one, poor lad. Keep cheery, that's the answer, and you go on checking that new thingy we sent you," and down would go the phone.
Yes, you could be right. But we must do something.
There is another option, of course.
What's that?
Come to terms with it.
How do you mean?
Look, we love our work and our golf in about equal proportions, right?
Well, yes. But work comes first with me.
And with me, but golf is a very close second, yes?
Well, yes.
Right. Supposing there were two each of us.
But there are two each of us.
But permanently. Forever, one could be working while one was golfing, and vice versa. Half the week off, golf galore, no sense of guilt whatsoever. Because the other chap's just as brainy as we are, and will tackle any problems in the self-same fashion as we would.
I'm sorry, Frank, no, it's just not hot. Though I admit it's a very tempting thought. I cannot condemn Faye to a life of ongoing headaches just to get myself a few extra rounds of golf.
Oh, you can soon sort that out.
How come?
Turns each.
What?
She wouldn't know the difference.
Well, of course she'd know the difference. Frank, this is appalling. I mean, you're talking about my wife, the lady I love, the woman I have chosen to spend my life with, alone, you know, without some awful undead creature sharing her with me.
Well, just think about it.
No.
You're throwing away an awful lot of golf.
There is more to married life than golf.
Gives you something to do when headaches are in fashion.
Frank, I will not even contemplate it. Every time I imagine I see that balding, paunchy, shambling wreck of a man that's me, I shudder. Do you realize that? I shudder. I mean, how could I have let myself go to seed like that? It's nauseous. You should have warned me. You're supposed to be my friend.
What about the mole on the end of my nose?
Your mole, Frank, is neither here nor there compared with my baldness and shambling gait. Hang on.
What is it?
What did I just say?
You're grumbling on about your shambling gait.
No. Before that, without some awful undead creature sharing her with me, tell me, what's the opposite to undead?
Unalive, equaling dead.
Exactly. Frank, I think I've just found the solution to my problem. I think I may be intending to commit the perfect murder.
What?
Now, don't you see? I'd be living testimony that I didn't kill him. How could they condemn me to a life of incarceration if they couldn't prove I was dead? Even though they had my body on a slab, they'd still have me standing beside it, alive. It's foolproof. It's absolutely foolproof.
Paul, could you really contemplate seeing yourself dead after you'd actually done the deed yourself, that is?
Yeah, you're right. I couldn't.
Well, let's hope he can't either, when he gets around to considering the same idea.
You think he may?
Absolutely guaranteed. Mathematical certainty. He is you, Paul, to the nth degree. He is you.
Well, coming to terms with it seems a very valid answer to me.
No, it is simply not on. I don't want two husbands, Margaret. I want one husband. And I can certainly quite happily do without double washing, double ironing, double cooking, double... All sorts of unlikely things. It's just not on. I'm monogamous by nature, and if I am to have an unwanted extra husband thrust on me willy-nilly...
What a delightful name for a spare husband.
I certainly don't want to end up with two who look exactly alike.
You're very well going on about it in this fashion, Faye, but you seem to have forgotten that it's a fait accompli. We've actually got two each of them.
Well, fate will just have to be unaccomplied. One will have to go. They must quickly and amicably decide which version is real and which version is not, and the loser must go, disappear, immediately.
Oh, Lord knows what we'll do. Mind you, we could have another double-double while we're thinking it over.
Oh, yes, of course. I'm awfully sorry. I didn't see you empty.
Crisps?
Oh, please.
Right. Back in a jiffy.
Paul. Over at the door.
Good God. It's you. Get down. Don't let him see us.
Well, I'll be damned. The cheek of the man coming into my local like this.
God knows what Harold will make of it.
Maybe Harold?
Frank?
Paul arrived yet?
Hey, hang on. We've already had this bit of conversation.
Ah, here he comes, last as usual. It better be my round, I suppose. And talking about the usual, make mine a larger than large, would you, Harold? It's been a long day, and looks as though it could be an even longer night.
Anything Harold, Frank?
Paul, usual?
Yeah, please, yes. Oh, make it a large one. And a packet of crisps as well, if you would run to it.
Yes, me too. I'm starving. Harold's starting to go puce round the cheeks. Looks as though he's about to explode.
Yes, he's not got the greatest sense of humour, particularly if he feels he's the butt of the joke.
You're right there. Remember the electronic spiders we brought in? Didn't speak to us for weeks.
Yes. I think the best thing all round is for us to crawl through the tables on all fours over to the side door there and push off before they see us. What do you say?
I think you're probably right.
Yes, off you go then. You go first. I'll be right behind you.
Fair enough.
Here we are.
Lovely, just what the doctor ordered. Two larger than large, plus two bags of crisps. Take none of that. Would you, Harold, have one yourself?
No, thank you, sir.
No, thank you. What on earth's come over you, Harold? I haven't heard those words from you in years.
I don't know what your game is, the pair of you, but I, for one, don't want to play.
Pardon?
So kindly take your drinks and your crisps away from my bar.
Oh, come on, Harold, old son. It's your friends, Frank and Paul, you're talking to. What's the matter?
I know what it is. The other two have been in here already.
Ah, but of course. Why didn't I think of that possibility? Where are they? I can't see them.
Must have gone. Perhaps they saw us come in and slipped out the side door.
I asked you two gentlemen to move.
You know, Harold, it's probably very difficult for you to credit this. And I do admit it does take a bit of swallowing. But there are now two each of us. Two of Frank and two of me, that is. And you've obviously served the other two already, which is why you're getting so miffed about us greeting you as if we hadn't seen you for days. Which, of course, we haven't. And you're probably even thinking we might be pulling your leg or
something. I can vouch for every word he's saying, Harold. There's now two each of us. Two Pauls, two Franks.
Right, that's it. I've had enough. You've gone too far. Kindly give me my drinks back. Thank you very much, gentlemen. And the crisps, if you don't mind.
Hey, steady on.
And there's your money back, too. Now, will you both kindly leave my establishment?
Oh, come on, Harold. That's a bit much.
Out. Out.
Yeah, but I say, look here. This is
out.
Do you think they saw us creep out like that?
No, I shouldn't think so.
Did you see old Nellie pat me on the head as I crawled past her?
Yes. Gave me a crisp.
They didn't see us. I mean, a bit shifty looking.
Well, if the positions were reversed, they'd have done exactly the same.
You think so?
Oh, I know so. You know, at some point, you've got finally to face up to the awful fact that they are us, Paul. They think like us, act like us. And in any given situation, they'll do exactly as we would do because they are us. And worse than that, they believe beyond any shadow of doubt, same as we do believe about ourselves, that they are the real Paul and Frank.
And are they?
It's just heads or tails. 50-50 chance, so God only knows, Paul. God only knows. There's absolutely no way of verifying our reality or otherwise.
It's funny how we spend most of our lives just accepting what we've got without even thinking about it.
How do you mean, Elson?
Well, take you and me. How long have we known each other?
Oh, 30 years.
All that time, and I don't even know you.
Oh, come on, you know me very well.
Oh, yeah, but I know some things you enjoy doing, yes, and I know some things that make you sad, and I know you've got a very good brain, even though you do manage to convince the world when you're away from electronics and you're a bit of a bumbler.
Oh, I said, all steady on, that's a bit strong.
No, I'm not trying to put you down, Frank. I mean, you're my best friend, my only friend, apart from Faye, that is, and I wouldn't hurt you for the world. But I'm just trying to explain what I mean. After 30 years, I don't know you, Frank. Only the surface you, the bits you let me share, the bits you show the world. That's all I know of you, the externals. But that other Frank, he knows you totally. He knows every little silliness you've ever perpetrated in your whole life.
Good Lord, how awful. Hadn't thought of the silliness.
He knows your weaknesses and strengths. He knows the secrets locked in the dark corners of your mind that could cut you to the soul, finish you. He knows your secret, whatever that secret happens to be. And Paul, that other Paul, he knows mine. And I can't bear it, Frank. I'm afraid I just can't bear it.
Well, as bad as that?
Yes, it is as bad as that. We've got to find a solution. Even if it turns out that we're the ones who are not real. I don't care. I just can't bear anybody knowing me that intimately.
But surely there's no problem about finally finding out which one of us is which one's real and which one isn't.
No problem with it, no.
It's so obvious, I hardly felt it warranted a mention. I mean, by my calculations, it's going to become awfully clear in the next 60 minutes which one of us is real and which isn't, isn't it?
Well.
You mean you really don't know?
No. It would appear not.
Oh. Because of what you said, I thought you'd twigged the fact as well.
Twigged what, Frank?
That there is a time factor involved here. You said yourself, we only met the others 2 or 3 hours ago. So it can't be very long now.
But I still don't know what you're getting at.
Well, just you think about it for a few seconds. Just think about it.
Good God. But of course... Why didn't I remember that?
There you are. Told you you'd get there, finally.
It's quite amazing. We've got 4 men between the 2 of us, and we can't even manage to produce a pair of them to form a 4 for bridge.
Well, a selection of them should be back soon. I can't see them all sitting around having a jolly drinking session together. Not in the present circumstances, that is. When one of the Franks comes back and sees our light off and your light on, he's bound to know this is where I am, and comes straight over with whichever Paul he happens to be with.
Speak of the devil.
Goodness sake, you've been
all about phoning.
Yes, I know.
Lord, what is going on out there?
Sounds like the start of an uprising. Maybe to restore the balance of power relative to Sprouts, perhaps.
Sounds more like one too many to me. I better just go and check.
Remind Paul I've got a headache, will you?
At this rate, I'll soon be having one myself.
Don't worry.
All right, fine. Go ahead, then.
I'll get on. What is going on out here?
I'll get on to them straight
away. You do realise that Faye's still got a headache.
Oh, hello, Margaret. Sorry about that. I forgot. We'll keep it down.
Hello, darling. I'm sorry, I won't be making a phone call.
Phone call?
Yes, with you shortly.
It's all right, Margaret. Everything will soon be explained. Let's go into the lounge, shall we? Leave Frank in peace.
Well, hello.
There's a good girl.
Good girl, indeed.
Hello.
Old enough to be your sister.
Hello, darling. Sorry about the kerfuffle. A bit of a crisis.
Crisis? We were just wondering whether you boys would like a hand of bridge when you suddenly erupted.
Yes, crisis, being honest. It doesn't seem the most opportune moment for bridge.
What sort of crisis?
Well, let's hope the other two are feeling slightly more sporty.
A crisis of time. Frank remembered about the time factor involved. You see, that's why he's on to head office now. He's trying to confirm the detail.
Paul, will you kindly explain what is happening?
I'll tell you in just a few minutes, as soon as Frank's off the phone. We'll both explain. I'll go and check how he's getting on.
No, nothing else. Thank you. You've been most helpful.
Well, what did they say?
The average life of the reproduction was 3 hours, 27 minutes. And apparently, in a few cases in the early experiments, the reproduced subjects had a tendency to go slowly transparent.
Eh?
About 10 seconds before the end.
My God. That means that we must be already in the danger zone.
Exactly.
What do we do, Frank?
There's nothing we can do. If we're the reproductions, we have to go. Well, let's play a hand of bridge while we're waiting to find out, shall we? Right. Mind you, with this amount of tension, I'm bound to make a hash of the bidding.
Oh, you're all right. I promised Faye I wouldn't make any penalty doubles.
Thank goodness for that.
Let's go through, shall we?
So there you are.
Hello, Faye.
Hello, Frank. You all right? You look a touch...
transparent?
No, pale. Sort of wan.
Oh, thank goodness for that.
Take your seats opposite partners, please, gentlemen.
Can the cloak and dagger now be removed and the secret revealed?
Yes, I think it's about time to share our burden.
Cut for deal.
Margaret! The secret of all the frenzied activity is about to be revealed.
I know that, but there's surely no reason why we can't go on cutting and dealing, is there? We've been hanging around waiting for a game for positively eons.
You're right. No reason at all. 10 of hearts.
Okay.
7 of clubs.
1 for me, 2 of diamonds. Dash! You must be able to do better than that, Frank. 10 of hearts to beat. Come along, Frank. Concentrate. Don't just sit there moping. Take a card. Well, turn it over.
I don't have to. I can almost guess what it is.
Stop fooling about and turn it over.
There. Just as I expected. A sad-looking lady. All dressed in funereal black.
The Queen of Spades, clever boy. Your deal.
It's a superstition, Frank. It doesn't really mean anything.
Of course not.
Shuffle in front and cut behind. Come on.
Right, Paul. Out with it. What's the big secret?
Well, it's quite simple, really. It was Frank who remembered first. I had totally forgotten.
Forgotten what?
That all the reproductions they made in the smaller version of the machine Frank and I were sent to test were fine, except for... one small thing. Frank, you're better at the technical side. Would you like to explain?
Though brilliant in its conception, there is a flaw in the machine. Namely, after a few hours, all the reproductions blew up.
They did what?
They were perfect, but unstable.
We checked. After an average life of 3 hours, 27 minutes, they just exploded, leaving no trace at all. And by Frank's calculation, that's exactly what's going to happen to whichever pair of us isn't real.
You mean we could all be killed?
We certainly could, but not you or Faye. It's not their sort of intensity. More of an implosion, really. And I doubt whether technically it could be termed a killing. Simply a readjustment of atoms.
But which are you, the real ones or the falses?
We don't know.
Surely you must have some idea.
Well, naturally, we think we're the real ones, but so do the other two.
Is there any sort of indication, a warning of some sort, before it happens?
Not much. Apparently some of the objects went slowly transparent 10 seconds or so before they exploded, and some didn't. Apart from that, nothing. So... any time now, we could both just disappear. Bang.
Of course, earlier reproductions weren't human, so we can't be scientifically certain. Oh, Paul, I've just thought of something.
What?
We must warn the others. They may not have thought of it yet.
Good Lord, you're right. I'll go and ring the pub, try to catch them before they leave.
Good thinking.
But can't you wait till after the bidding, dear? I've hardly had time to look at my card.
No. Time is rapidly running out, I'm afraid.
This is turning out to be the funniest game of bridge I've never not had. You see what I mean, that
well,
is.
Just hang on for a little while, Margaret. It could get even funnier. Heard the one about the exploding bridge player?
Say, it is not a matter for jocularity.
I agree with you. Bridge is certainly one game that can do without this sort of levity.
I'm not talking about bridge, Margaret. I'm talking about the fact there's a 50-50 chance any second now Paul and I will be whipped off into limbo, disappearing off the face of the earth unmourned, because to all intents and purposes, we'd still be here. What do you do then, Margaret? You're my wife. You tell me, what do you do if I'm suddenly whipped off?
Play... three-handed till the real one turns up, perhaps?
Oh, you just don't care, do you? You just damn well don't care, and never have done. Give you enough bridge, enough medium dry sherry, and enough of my income, and you'll plod along quite happily with any old Frank.
Frank, how dare you say such a thing?
Because it's true.
Oh, come on, Frank, be fair. If you set Margaret up with a loaded question like that, what can you expect? If I explode, I'm not real, what will you feel?
Faye, what a lovely little poem.
I just expect a little bit of understanding, that's all. Because if it does happen to be me, I personally will be very, very upset. Oh, managed to catch them?
No, afraid not. At least I don't think so. Harold was acting a bit strange.
Paul, will you please take your seat and we can get on?
Right. Now let's see what fate has decided to deal me.
Are you going to bother picking your cards up or not, Frank?
Oh, sorry, miles away.
Well,
So that's what Fade thinks of me at the moment.
Good Lord! I know it's bad form to say anything, but with a once-in-a-lifetime hand like this, a man could die happy. I'm going to bid a straight grand slam in no trumps, all by myself.
What?
All 13 tricks to be won, and no problem at all. Why are you all looking at me like that? It's virtually a lay-down, apart from one finesse. Well?
Frank, old friend, I don't want to worry you, but we can see right through you.
I'm not bluffing, Paul. This is quite honestly the best hand I've ever been dealt in my whole life.
I don't mean that sort of see-through you, Frank. I mean literally see-through you. You're slowly going transparent.
You think...
I'm afraid so.
Well, this is incredible. Look, you can see right through my hand. It's fantastic. Looks as though we've lost out on this particular game, Paul.
Yeah, looks that way.
I'll miss you.
And I'll miss you too. You've been a good friend.
What about me?
And you. I didn't mean all those things I said about you a short while ago. You go on looking after the real Frank as well as you've always done. And goodbye, Faye.
Goodbye.
It's all right, it's all right. There's no danger.
Oh, God, how awful. Poor Frank.
He just disappeared. His card still lying there on the table. Oh, how horrible. He just disappeared. Faye, he just disappeared. Oh, Frank, where are you, Frank?
Margaret, don't upset yourself. That wasn't Frank, not the real Frank. He's on his way home now. He'll be here soon to comfort you. All this will be just like a bad dream tomorrow. And don't forget, the Frank who sat opposite a few seconds ago was only a lifelike reproduction. Just as I am.
How long do you think you've got, Paul?
No more than 30 seconds, I shouldn't.
30 seconds?
Not much you can do or say in 30 seconds, is there? Perhaps just thank you for the memory of the life we've lived together, even though apparently I didn't really live it. And most important of all, don't forget, I love you, Faye. And I always have done from the very first day we met.
Oh, Paul.
Now, it's all right. Don't upset yourself.
Will there be any warning? Like there was with Frank?
I don't really...
Dear, dear, don't take it so hard. Remember what Paul said. But they were so real, Margaret, so awfully real. Here they are now. Oh, thank God. Dry your eyes, dear, so that they can't see how upset you've been.
We race, Beth.
Frank suddenly thought about the early small-scale experiments.
We thought we'd better warn the others in case they'd forgotten what happened.
There's a time factor involved, you see. Are they upstairs?
You're too late.
You mean...
They blew up. One after the other. They blew up and disappeared before our eyes. It was awful. Absolutely awful. They've gone.
Oh. We are the real ones.
We are the real ones. We are the real ones. We are the real ones.
Stop it! How dare you be so pleased? Two people who were as real as you are have just died in this room. Whatever they were, wherever they are, they deserve better than this.
Sorry. You're right, of course. It is unforgivable of us, but we have been under something of a strain, you see. I mean, at one point we began to think that perhaps they were the real ones and we were the reproductions.
Yes, we had no way of mathematically confirming it. It could so easily have been us. Until they exploded, that is. But, sorry, all the same, you're right, it's unforgivable.
No, it's all right. I lost my temper, I'm sorry. We've all been under a strain, and it was...
Yes, now, try to forget it, Faye. The nightmare's over now.
Yes, it's over.
Come and sit here, Frank. Let me just have a look at you.
All right, dear. We'll go home soon, shall we?
Oh.
It's been a long day. Perhaps an early night.
Oh, yes, please. No more bridge for tonight.
I'm sorry, Faye, I didn't mean to upset you. But the relief, I just can't begin to tell you.
That's all right. You weren't to know how upsetting it was for Margaret and I. Funny thing is, my headache's gone completely.
That's the best news I've heard all day.
Paul, you're incorrigible.
Right. Just let's look at the cards we would have been playing with, and then we'll call it a night, shall we?
Oh, right.
Oh, cool. What a terrible hand. No wonder he decided to take the easy way out.
Paul?
Sorry, dear.
But look at this. I just don't believe it. With a hand like this, a man could die happy.
Don't say that, Frank. That's exactly what he said, and look what happened to him. You're just testing fate, saying something like that.
But I ask you, a lay-down grand slam in no trumps, apart from one finesse, that is. What is it? Why are you all staring at me like that? Is anybody there?
You're fading, Frank. Just like the other one. You're becoming transparent.
Paul, do something. Don't just sit there. Do something.
There's nothing to do. The whole situation's impossible. The other two have gone. We must be the real ones. This chance can't be happening. It can't.
Paul, what can I do? Help me. Help me, Paul. What can I do?
Oh, good God. What's gone wrong? What on earth's gone wrong? How long have I got? Faye, how long before the other Paul?
15 seconds. He thought it would be longer. 30, perhaps, but it was only about 15. He just had time to tell me that he loved me. Then there was the explosion.
I don't understand. I just don't understand.
Neither do I, Paul. Neither do I. Paul. Oh, Paul. I love you.
Oh, what are we going to do, Faye? What are we going to do?
We've got to call the police.
But what can we say? That our husbands exploded before our eyes twice. Oh, Faye, I couldn't bear the looks in their eyes. Leastways not while I'm this upset.
No, of course you're right. But we must do something, Margaret.
But Frank. What am I going to do without him? And the awful thing is that he was right about me. All those things he said were true. I do like my bridge too much and my sherry too much. Come to that. Oh, if only he'd come back. I'd never sit down at a bridge table again.
Well, what about me? I was just as bad. I never showed my poor little Paul the love and affection he needed. No, it was always midweek headaches and feeling a bit off colour all the time. Oh, Margaret, I miss him so much already. If only he'd come back to me. What is it? Listen!
Hello, darling! I'm back! Is Margaret here? I've got Frank with me. He's a little bit seven sheets in the wind, as they say, but... But I am as sober as a judge, so don't throw anything when I open the door.
What ho, girls? Well, Frankie here with Paul the boy.
Darling! Are you here, darling?
Ah, so here's our little girls. Hello.
So, there you both are. We were starting to think there was no one at home.
Sorry, Margaret, I'm a little bit...
Hey, you two all right? You look as if you've seen a ghost.
You haven't been tiffing, have you, girls? Over two-handed bridge, perhaps. Terrible game for tiffing, you know.
Sorry to be late, dear. I missed the early train. Missed the later train.
Missed every moving train.
In fact, both Frank and I have a little confession to make.
Yeah.
Frank?
Yes, yes. We have both been out celebrating. Too well, I'm afraid.
Well, we had a new machine sent from head office today. It's the most wonderbar machine in the whole world.
Yes, and it worked. It actually worked. Amazing. Well, not amazing. Unbelievably fantastic. Three-dimensional, walking, talking reproductions of human beings at the press of a button.
Did they arrive safely, by the way?
They arrived.
It was Paul's idea, actually.
Oh, come on, Frank. You mustn't let me take all the credit, old
boy. Let's make a copy of ourselves to send home to the wives, he said.
Yes, rest, replied Frank.
And we'll have a night out on the town.
Whizzo, replied Frank.
So we did.
I say, is everything all right, girls? You both look a bit peaky. It doesn't matter. They'll blow up and disappear soon.
They already have.
Oh, my God.
all four of them.
Four?
Yes. Two Pauls and two Franks.
But I don't understand.
Why two each of you, Paul?
But
I mean, if you had to be stupid, thoughtless, hurtful, cruel, wicked, juvenile, infantile, puerile, why not just send one of yourselves? But two of them? That's cruel beyond measure.
Faye, I honestly don't know what you're talking about.
Neither do I.
Don't you? Well, then let me help you. Faye's talking about the fact that you wickedly sent two each of yourselves home to us so that we could have the fun of watching you explode, disappear and die before our eyes. Twice!
Twice? This is fantastic.
Faye, Margaret, I know it was a terrible thing to do, but I promise you, on my honour, we only sent one each of us back.
That's true. Scout's honour.
But two each of you arrived.
Exactly. Two.
Oh, God. This can only mean one thing.
What's that, Frank?
Well, come on, Frank. Don't keep us in suspense. Frank!
Time slip. Again.
But if...
Listen.
Hey, darling!
Oh, no!
In Time Slip by Wally K. Daly, Paul was played by Paul Daneman, Frank by Donald Hewlett, Margaret by Gwen Watford, Faye by Norma Ronald, and Harold the Barman by Eric Allen. Time Slip was directed by Martin Jenkins.